to Snap Judgment from PRX and NPR. My name is Glenn Washington, and today, Snap Judgment crosses the veil, Spook 5, Innocence Lost. Real stories, real people. And next, we're traveling to Old Louisville, or as some know it, the most haunted neighborhood in America, where Dave Dominick, he bought himself a rundown Victorian mansion. But David, he wasn't scared because he didn't believe in ghosts. Snap Judgment.
I consider myself a skeptic, you know. I say when I see a ghost, I'll actually believe in ghosts. And so when I was talking to the previous owner, I just offhandedly asked, you know, are there any ghosts or anything associated with the house? And she said, yeah, there's one. Her name's Lucy, and she's a poltergeist. And I didn't really, believe her. Moved into the house, didn't think anything of it, and I started decorating and painting and such, and sure enough, a couple months later, the strange things started happening. Started with pictures falling off the wall. One time I hung three pictures in a row and went to the dining room and slap, 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 all three pictures were lying face down. The glass had been broken out and the nails were still in the wall, so I don't know how the pictures came down over those nails. I was always looking for a rational explanation. I thought, well, you didn't hang them the right way. Whatever happened, it's your fault. So for the next couple months, it went on like that. Strange things kept happening, always in the same parts of the house, the butler's pantry, the dining room, the kitchen. I started hearing footsteps and, you know, not creaks and groans, you know, these were discernible footsteps going up and down the hall. The freakiest night was Kentucky Derby night of 2000. You know, in Kentucky, the Derby is a big, big thing. I had fallen asleep. Three loud raps at the back door woke me up. And so I got up and I went downstairs to the back door and I opened it and there was no one there. You know, there were lights coming from the neighboring houses and the street lamps in the alley. And I tried to see if anyone, you know, was leaving, and I couldn't see anyone. So I crawled back into bed, and I was lying there with the dogs. One of my friends called. You know, he was one of the friends that knew about the strange things happening in the house. So he made an offhand comment, you know, I don't know if I'd stay alone in that old house all by myself if I were you. And I said, well, it's sort of funny you mentioned that. I said, someone keeps knocking at the back door. And as I said that, all of a sudden we heard the raps again. And it was so loud that he actually heard them through the phone. So I shot out of bed and I ran to that back room and stood at the window and looked down and there was no one there. I came down the hallway and I was shutting off the lights as I did so. And so I lay back down in bed and everything was pitch black and he was trying to convince me. You know, he was trying to warn me about the house. And I said, well, you know, I said, I'm probably just imagining things. I think I'm just psyching myself out. And I said, you know, if there's anything here and it wants me to know, it will let me know. And at that very second, the light in the hallway went on. Just filled up the bedroom with light. And it was so shocking that I was at a loss for words. I couldn't say anything. I just sort of gasped. And my heart started pounding. So I walked out into the hallway with the baseball bat, expecting to find someone. But when I got out there, there was nothing there, just the blinding white light from the bulb that had come on. Of course, you move into a new house, you want to put your own personal touch on it. So we hired two local men who were very good at restoring old floors in houses. And I hadn't told them anything about what had been happening, but they had been having their own experiences. And so they reported strange things in that back room, like people were watching them. I was standing there with one of the workers and we were talking and all of a sudden a big vase on the mantle sort of just slowly moved 2 feet across the mantle and it stopped right before it would have fallen off the edge. You know, I went back and I tried to get it to move like that again. I put it back. I even shoved it a little. I couldn't get it to move at all. So it happened just that one time. I remember it was a cold winter's day. I was on the second floor alone in the house and I had this the smell of laundry being done, and I sort of followed my nose, and it took me down the hall to that little room at the back of the hallway, and I went inside, and it smelled like someone had just been doing laundry or folding laundry in there, and there was also this smell of ironing, you know, the starchy smell. Sometimes I even smelled, you know, like charred wood, and a couple times I thought there was a fire in the house, so it had to be a fire at the neighbor's house. I even went and searched the whole house, convinced that there was something going on, and I was down in the kitchen making some lunch, and one of the workers leaned down over the railing and said, "Hey, can you come up here for a minute?" And I said, "Sure." And so I went up there. He said, "You know, we got to show you what we found in this room, because we're not going to be able to get this out of the wood. This is something that's going to be staying in the wood for a while." They walked me into the room, and they pointed to a spot on the floor. And it was a spot on the floor right by the hearth where the fireplace was. When I saw it, all of a sudden, the hair started standing up on the back of my arms, because I saw that it was a burn mark that had been left there by an old-fashioned flat iron. So someone had been ironing. They took the iron they were heating up in the fireplace, and they must have accidentally set it down on the floor and left it there. But when I stared at that that burnt mark that was left there by that old-fashioned flat iron, all of a sudden, things started to make sense. If there's a ghost here and her name's Lucy, she had to be the former maid or the housekeeper. It was sort of a relief. It made sense all of a sudden. You know, even though I wasn't convinced that I believed, you know, it made something seem more rational. Even if it was me conceding to the paranormal, there was something that explained it, and so it was a lot easier to live with. I just started saying, yes, there's a Lucy here, and I better start doing things the right way. If I don't do what she likes, you know, things will get worse. So from that point forward, even if I was doing it jokingly, I'd say, okay, I'm going to do this now, and I'm going to paint this, and I hope you like it. And the funny thing is, for the last 7 years I was in the house, nothing ever happened again. So people said she obviously liked what I was doing in the house in the end.
Thank you, David, for sharing your story with Snap. David wrote a whole book on his neighborhood called True Ghost Stories and Eerie Legends from America's Most Haunted Neighborhood. That piece, it was produced by Anna Sussman.